Some people learn from the mistakes of others. The trick is learning to not be one of the others. Hi, I'm Rob West. Proverbs 1:5 puts that another way. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Today, I'll tell you some of the biggest financial mistakes so you can learn from them. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So a recent survey asked folks about their biggest financial faux pas, pardon my French. Interestingly, first on the list was buying and not buying a house. Obviously, it's a huge financial decision, and it can go wrong either way. Some in the group reported they bought too much house and were having difficulty making mortgage payments. Others said the home they bought required more work than they'd bargained for. Still more said a big mistake was not putting down 20% to avoid paying private mortgage insurance. But some reported that it was a mistake not buying a house a few years ago when home values were lower, because now they can't afford to buy one. Well, to those folks, we say, keep saving diligently. Home values are showing signs of moderating, and eventually you'll catch up to the market. The next mistake people cited was student loans, but specifically using money from those loans for what they now consider frivolous spending, like eating out at a fancy restaurant, buying upscale clothes, and even buying a car. Others said it was a mistake to borrow for a degree that didn't provide marketable skills that employers want, so now they're unable to find a job with a salary high enough to repay their loans. The moral here is that you always want to borrow as little as possible, use the funds only for education, and choose a major that will provide a reasonable income. Now, talking about loans in general, a lot of folks said it was a mistake to be on either side of one. Specifically, some said that co-signing a loan for someone else was a big mistake. And the Bible certainly agrees. Proverbs 22 warns, "Be not one of those who gives pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you?" And some even said it was a mistake to borrow from a family member or friend, presumably because it damaged the relationship. The next mistake involved keeping up with the Joneses and spending way too much on a wedding to impress people that didn't have to pay for it. One bride even said she wished she'd gone potluck and wore a simple dress instead of shelling out thousands on an extravagant meal and fancy wedding gown. Impulse buying also made the list of mistakes people cited. They regretted buying a lot of stuff that made them feel good for a moment, but then ended up in the garage or basement gathering dust. If they'd only read Luke 12:15, where Jesus said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." The impulse buyers said that instead, they should have put that money in a retirement account, which was actually next on the list. Many respondents said it was a mistake not contributing more to their retirement account, so their holdings could grow more over the years from the benefit of compound earnings. And specifically, they said it was a mistake to not take advantage of employer matching funds in their 401k. We always advise you to contribute at least enough to max out any employer contributions, because it's free money. You don't want to turn that down. Now, what list of financial mistakes would be complete without mentioning credit cards? And of course, a lot of respondents said it was a mistake to go into debt the first time for things they couldn't afford to buy with cash. But some even admitted that they didn't learn from that mistake. When they got a windfall of some type and paid off their credit card debt, they kept overspending and found themselves in debt all over again. And that's why we tell you the only way to avoid going into debt is by living on a budget and having an emergency fund for unplanned expenses. Otherwise, you'll just reach for a credit card to solve a problem or satisfy a wish. By the way, the very best way to get on a budget is to use the MoneyWise app. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. There's actually three approaches to setting up your spending plan, and you can find the one that works best for you and your personality. Set up your budget, track your expenses, and make sure you use the money for all the things that you intended and nothing else. So there are what folks are calling their biggest financial mistakes. We hope you learn not to make them. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman, here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. But you can't share your faith unless you have faith, and you don't have faith if you're worrying. Sadly, over 70% of all Christians are worrying today, mostly in fear of things they can't change. Here's the problem. When you worry even a little bit, you're telling God you don't trust Him. And according to James 1, that makes you double-minded and unable to expect God to answer your prayers. You want to pray with faith, knowing God is going to answer your prayers. And you get there by living in God's promise in Romans 8:28 to make everything in your life work for good when you love God and you live for His purpose to seek and save the lost, to move everyone every day closer to Jesus. This is huge. Sharing your faith, living for God's purpose, obliterates fear and worry. That's when God obligates Himself to answer your prayers and make everything work for good and His glory. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's
I feel like
that's
I'm a
why, That's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. All right, let's dive in. We'll begin today in Seattle, Washington. Marie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, I just learned of a RMD, and I will be charged like 20% tax on the amount that I have to take out that I required. Yeah. And I was wondering if I put it into an annuity, would I still need that to pay that much tax? Or is there some other way to decrease the amount?
Yes. Well, you do have to take that money out. And unless you do what's called a qualified charitable distribution, you will have to pay tax on it. Now, if you were to take then and turn that around and put it into what's called a qualified annuity, then you would be able to take a deduction against your gross earnings. But I think the first step is to make sure you satisfy the required minimum. When it comes out based on the IRS's schedule or table that tells you based on your balance and age what you need to take out each year, you would decide, I think, first, do you want to take that out and pay tax on it, or or do you want to give it to a charity or ministry? That's a great option, especially if you want to offset giving you were going to do out of cash, money that you had in a checking or savings account, where you could essentially make the same gift through a qualified charitable distribution. But when you do it that way, the ministry gets the full amount of the gift, and you don't add it to your taxable adjusted gross income for the year. So would you be interested in that piece of it, or would you rather take it out, pay the tax, and then turn around and either put it into some sort of investment or annuity?
Well, I could put it into a different investment.
You could, yeah. So you would, if you take it out, other than through the qualified charitable distribution where you'd make it a gift to a ministry or your church, you would take it out. It would be added to your taxable income for the year. And then you would then decide, okay, what do I want to do with it? And I would always look at that decision in light of your overall goals and objectives. Do you need to shore up your emergency fund? Do you have 3 to 6 months or perhaps more than 6 months worth of expenses in a savings account? If not, you could use this for that purpose. Do you want to put it away for the future? And if so, where's the best place to grow it? Do you want to add it to an investment portfolio that you have, especially while the market is down? This might be a good time to go ahead and take and invest this. Do you want to pay down debt if you have any consumer debt? So tell me about your goals at this point, Marie, and let's determine what the best next step might be for you.
Well, I do have debt that needs to be paid first, I think,
okay.
Before.
Yeah. So tell me about that. What do you have in the way of debt?
Mainly credit cards, about $30,000.
Okay. And how much do you need to take out as a required minimum this year?
I'm not positive. They haven't told me yet.
Okay. All right.
Maybe about $5,000.
Okay. Well, I think that would be a great use of this because we really want to get that paid off as soon as we can. The nice thing about paying off credit card debt is, first of all, you have to take the money out, so you're going to pay the tax regardless unless you were to give it away. But once you go ahead and pay that tax and make sure you set that 20% aside so that you can cover it, the guaranteed return when you pay down debt is equal to the interest rate you're no longer paying. And so if you're paying somewhere between, well, on average 12 to 17% in interest to your credit card, that's a great use of this money because we want to get that $30,000 eliminated just as quickly as we can. And this would get you headed in that direction with a lump sum. How are you approaching the paying off of the debt right now? Are you just paying the minimum each month or are you adding something to it?
I tried to pay as much as possible, more than what the minimum.
Okay. So that would be what I would recommend as step number one is once you know what that required minimum is, you take that out, you set the taxes aside, and then let's go ahead and use this money to, if you don't need it for some other purpose, to pay down the credit card debt. I might also look, Marie, at what we call a credit counseling program or debt management. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org could get your interest rates reduced and get you on one fixed monthly payment that with the reduction of the interest rates would allow you to pay that debt off 80% faster. It's not debt settlement. You're not going to get behind or miss any payments. It's just a way through debt management for you to get the interest rates reduced, which will really go a long way toward helping you get this paid off. Anytime you have debt of over $4,000, debt management is my preferred approach on how you pay it back in full and as quickly as possible with as little in interest as possible. So I would check that out at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, but in terms of the RMD, I would use it to pay down that debt, okay?
What about, could you tell me a little bit more about the qualified annuity?
Well, I was talking about a qualified charitable distribution, but I can share with you about annuity as well. So a qualified annuity is basically just a retirement vehicle where you would put money into a tax-deferred environment. When you go in, you get a deduction. So the contributions to a qualified annuity are deducted from an investor's gross earnings. And so you would have a deduction against that amount. It's not subject to federal taxes. And then you would either, it would grow based on either it being a fixed annuity with a guaranteed return on it or a variable annuity, which has underlying subaccounts or mutual funds, and you were participating in the upside.
In light of your situation, though, with the $30,000 in credit card debt, I wouldn't recommend that just because you're going to see much greater long-term success by getting that debt paid off as quickly as you can. And then once you have paid that off, you could turn around and take all that you were sending to those credit cards and then begin funding either an annuity or an investment account that would be money you could save for the future. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We appreciate your call. To Miami, Florida, Margaret, you're next on the program. How can I help?
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling because I'll be 32 in August, and I have $20,000 in savings, and it's just sitting there. I don't know anything about the market, and I listen to your show all the time, and I'm just here to just listen to take some advice from you as to what can I do with this $20,000. I plan on buying a house, but the housing market, you know, everything is so expensive, so I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Please help.
Yeah. Yeah, Margaret, this $20,000, does that include what I would call your emergency fund, or is this separate from your liquid savings?
That's everything.
Okay. So I would start by saying I wouldn't invest anything that is less than 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses. So take your monthly expenses times at a minimum 3 months, at the maximum 6 months, and let's keep that in liquid savings. If you want to invest the rest of it and you don't have any consumer debt, then I'd say that's great. One option to look at right now, as long as you're willing to wait 12 months, would be I-bonds, inflation bonds. They're paying about 9.6% right now, backed by the U.S. government. You can learn more at treasurydirect.gov. But if you want to be able to buy that house in less than 12 months, we need to keep all of it in liquid savings. So let's not invest anything that you don't have at least a one-year time horizon on. Stay on the line. We'll talk a little bit more off the air, and we'll be right back with more Money Wise on American Family Radio.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, our team is taking some time away from the studio. We're not here taking a break. Very well deserved, I can assure you. But that means you can't call in because we'll not be able to answer it. However, we lined up some great questions we think you will find helpful. Let's begin today in Cleveland, Ohio. Gail, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a 401k that I have to take $484 out for the first time, and I don't know whether to leave it there or where to put it or to take it all out. I'm retired, and I have no debt.
Yes. Okay, very good. So your required minimum distribution is around $400, is that right?
$484, something like that, yeah.
Okay, and you're 72 now or about to be?
Yes, I'm
okay,
72.
Very good. Are you familiar with something called the qualified charitable distribution?
No.
Okay, so there is an option, rather than just taking it out, if you don't need the money, which would add to your taxable income, and then you'd have to just put it in savings or some other type of account, there is an option to actually do what's called a qualified charitable distribution, where you're actually just going to send the money in the amount of the required minimum directly to your church or a ministry or charity that your passions align with, and that will satisfy your required minimum, and it won't be added to your taxable income for the year. And you could do that and replace giving you were already planning to do, if you'd like, out of cash. So let's say you give a tithe, or you have an annual amount you give to a favorite ministry or charity. Instead of giving that out of cash, you could replace perhaps all or a portion of that with your required minimum through a qualified charitable distribution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but
okay.
I don't really have an emergency fund. I banks, they don't give you any interest.
Yes.
To put in a savings account. What's the best banks to use for that?
Yeah. So for an emergency fund, I would use a savings account. I'd use one of the online savings account because they're going to at least pay you a little bit of interest. Right now, the online savings accounts, they've been ticking up with interest rates. They'll keep going as interest rates rise. Right now, you can earn nearly 2% with FDIC insurance through either Marcus or Capital One or Ally Bank. Those would be the three that I would look at. The only difference, Gail, with the online banks is there's not going to be a brick and mortar bank that you can branch that you can walk into, but they're all federally insured through the FDIC, just like a brick and mortar bank. And essentially what I encourage folks to do is to set up an account, which is free to do. There's no maintenance fees or minimums. You link it to your checking account electronically, and then you'd transfer the money in as you're able to. And then if you ever need it, it's just 2 or 3 days away through an electronic transfer back to your checking account, and it's all free. There's no expenses associated with it. And given that they're paying nearly 2% versus the maybe 0.1% or 0.2% you might get at a brick and mortar bank, I like that option a lot. But tell me your questions if you have any.
And what about an annuity? Is that a good thing to do?
You know, I'm not a big fan of annuities. I mean, they have a place, but they're not my first choice by any means. They're complicated. They tend to be somewhat expensive. And using an insurance product, to save is usually not my preferred approach. I'd rather you, just take the money that you have, build up that emergency fund in liquid savings with a high yield online savings account. And then the balance that you have, if you have other assets, I would invest those in a way that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, perhaps with an advisor's help. But outside of an insurance product where you still have access to your money without surrender charges and penalties, you're not transferring the risk to the insurance company like you would be with an annuity, but you have full access to your money without the complications that come through those somewhat complex insurance products.
What about I-bonds?
Yeah, just quickly, and then I'll need to get to another question, but I-bonds I like a lot. Now, keep in mind, you've got to leave the money there for a year, but as long as it's money that you can be without for 12 months, there's basically no risk because they're backed by the U.S. government, where historically they might have been paying 2%. Because of what's happening with inflation right now, they're paying 9.62%. That's going to be good through November. It'll adjust at that point based on the Consumer Price Index. CPI, which, by the way, just ticked up. Inflation's not going anywhere. And because of that, Gail, the I-bonds are going to continue to be a very attractive investment. You can only put in $10,000 a year per person. You'll buy them, these bonds, electronically direct from the U.S. Treasury at treasurydirect.gov. And as long as you can leave the money there for at least 12 months, I think they're a wonderful option right now.
Okay.
All right. Is that helpful?
Yeah, very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your call today. God bless you very much. A quick email that came in from Lee. By the way, if you have a question for us, you can send it to questions@moneywise.org. We'll try to read as many of those on the air as we can. Lee asked, what are the pros and cons of investing in gold? And Lee, the pros would simply be it's a store of value. It's a way to bring diversification with another asset class to your portfolio. I like the simplicity. It's also a hedge against a disaster. Some call it a fear trade. The downside of gold is it doesn't have as good a long-term performance as a stock and bond portfolio. There's premiums, dealer markups on buying and selling if you take physical possession, and it's not a passive income asset. It doesn't generate any income for you. So how do I approach it? Well, I like it as a part of an overall portfolio where you would have maybe a 5% allocation. I wouldn't overweight in the precious metals, and I'd probably buy an exchange traded fund that tracks the price of gold. That way you don't have the dealer markups and you don't have to store it. Thanks for your email. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're delighted you're spending some time with us here at MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Let's head right back to the phones and welcome Lisa to the broadcast from Sandusky, Ohio. Lisa, go right ahead.
Yeah, what's the best way to start a budget? I've struggled with this for a long time.
Yeah. Well, a couple of ways. Number one is it really, you know, depends on how you want to go about it, whether you're looking for more of a manual paper system or you want to use a smartphone app. I'd love for you to try the MoneyWise app. We could give you a 6-month pro subscription as our gift to you. And one of the great things is we have volunteer MoneyWise coaches that would be delighted to walk alongside you in that process of getting it set up, getting you into the app, connecting all of your accounts, which would download your transactions automatically. You'd establish your budget inside the app, which then allows you to track against it, either to see just how you're performing, or if you want to use the digital envelope system, you can actually see to the penny what's left in each of your digital envelopes at any point during the month. But the great thing is there's three systems in one. So if you want to be really hands off and just kind of see a high level of how your money, your spending is breaking down by category, you can do that, all the way to the digital envelope system where you're literally tracking every envelope and seeing what's left throughout the month. And then having somebody to walk alongside you in that process of getting it set up, I think would be great. So that would be probably the easiest way in my view to do it. The other approach is to take more of an analog approach, if you will, where you'd simply, you know, start cataloging all of the spending that you do, perhaps for a 30-day or better yet, a 60-day period where you're trying to capture all of your fixed expenses, those things that you get a bill for, your discretionary spending like eating out and clothes and entertainment that you don't get a bill for, and then any non-recurring expenses as well that might come, you know, semi-annually or quarterly. The idea is to get all of that into a budget on paper so that you know what you're spending each month, and then you can compare that to your income sources to figure out how you're doing and where you need to cut back, if at all, so that you've got margin, which is the key to funding your other goals, perhaps building your emergency fund or saving for the long term or those types of things. Which approach sounds like it'd be more what you're looking for, Lisa?
The digital version.
Yeah, great.
Definitely.
Awesome. So what we'll do is, if you don't mind, stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll reach out to you to make sure that you get a 6-month pro subscription to the MoneyWise app, just as our gift to you. And then we'll get you set up with one of our MoneyWise coaches who can help you get it all set up and get it to where you're able to track it. And then that way, you know, whenever you have a question as to how you're doing, once it's set up, as those transactions come in, the system will actually know which envelope they go in. And so you know, as you open it and those transactions download, you'll be reconciled back to your checking or savings account or both and know exactly what you have left in each area. And that's going to give you the information, Lisa, to be able to say, now, wait a minute, I'm kind of out here and for the eating out budget this month. So either I'm going to cut it off or I'm going to transfer some surplus from another envelope in. But it gives you the information you need to really make those decisions and stay on budget, which the whole big idea behind that is to make sure that you're really controlling the flow of money, giving every dollar a name, just not allowing it to slip out of your hands, which is really the key to funding those longer term goals. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and get that right out to you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Brad, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, I've got a question. Is we found a CD through Edward Jones that pays 3%, and we're just wondering, is that a good buy? I mean, will it be hidden fees and surcharges on top of that? I mean, it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, what was the duration on that? Did you say 12 months?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great rate. Yeah, I mean, most of the online banks right now, even the best ones, I think, are paying around 2.7 for a year. So I think, you know, that would be better than, you know, what I'm seeing with some of the best rates. But I would go back to what we've talked about recently, which is the I-bonds. You know, if you're looking for a 12-month duration, are you familiar with the inflation bonds?
No, I'm not.
Okay. This could be a great option for you. So these are issued by the U.S. government, by the U.S. Treasury, and they've got a 20-year duration with a 10-year extension, but you only have to leave the money in for 12 months. And what's going on right now is because inflation is elevated, these I-bonds are paying 9.62%. Now, that's only good. That's an annualized yield, but it's only good through the end of October. It'll reset in November, but it's going to reset based on the Consumer Price Index, CPI, which is all over the news today because it's what's driving the market down, because CPI, although we thought it might tick down for August, it actually ticked up, even though gas prices and oil prices have been declining, which means inflation is going to be with us for a while. In fact, maybe it's not quite as going in the right direction as quickly as we hoped it might be. As a result, these inflation bonds are going to be very attractive. Even when they reset in November, they'll be way ahead of anything you might get in a CD. And you have ultimate safety because they're backed by the U.S. government and issued by the U.S. government. So you can only buy up to $10,000 per person per year, and you have to buy the electronic bonds through the Treasury's website at treasurydirect.gov. But given that kind of rate, that could be a great option for you as well.
Okay, yeah, I'll check into that.
Very good. But I like the 3%. If you had money beyond the 10,000, which is what you could put in the I bonds per person, that is a very attractive rate. As long as it's a bank that's FDIC insured, I wouldn't have any problem with that. But again, to learn more about the inflation bonds, you'd do that at treasurydirect.gov. We appreciate your call today. Kathy, it sounds like you have a question about I bonds as well. Go right ahead.
I sure do. So my question is, I'm retiring next year, and I wonder, does it make sense to take $10,000 out of my 401k to put into an I bond, or would there be a penalty, or, you know, would that be a good idea?
Yeah. As much as I like the I bonds and that rate is just so phenomenal right now, I don't like pulling out of a retirement account. You would have to take a distribution from that 401k. And if you're over 59 and a half, you wouldn't have any penalties. The downside, though, is that now all of a sudden that's taxable to you. So you've created a taxable event. And then secondly, these I bonds, although they're paying great rates right now, they'll revert back to the mean as we get, on top of this inflation. The Fed has made it very clear they're going to continue to raise rates until we see inflation curbed. Now, we may not go right back to the 2% target we normally have, but we certainly will be, I think, around 3 or 4%, which means these I bonds, although they're great right now, will come down. And so I think I would be looking longer term with that 401k money. And even though you're in retirement starting next year, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need that money to last a long, long time. And I'd rather have it in the tax deferred environment of the 401k and some good high quality investments, as opposed to, you know, having it outside of that retirement account in the I bond, which a couple of years from now may not be paying anywhere near what they are today. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate your call. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Nonsense. It's a fun word to say that seems to be losing popularity nowadays, but there are still a lot of things that are nonsensical, even if we don't use the word. And we sure like to think that we know better than everyone else, don't we? It's part of our sinful condition. But sinners aren't wise, at least not when it comes to salvation. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:18? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The unbelieving world scoffs at the gospel. It seems like nonsense. But through this message, the God of all the universe is at work, redeeming a people for his great name. Anchor Devotional is available in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Let's head back to the phones today. Claremont, Florida. Carlos, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just retired back in December of 2021 from the Department of Justice, and I got a TSP account that has $345,000, and I have a home mortgage that I still owe $188,000. So I'm trying to figure out if it's a good idea to move that money over to the mortgage and pay it off.
Yeah, very good. Tell me a little bit about more about your situation. So are you currently in retirement?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are your income sources, Carlos?
Well, if I count my VA disability, it's $5,400 a month.
Okay.
for myself.
All right. And is that enough to cover your expenses?
Well, my wife works, so she brings in another $3,000.
Okay.
So, yeah, with that, we're pretty good.
And then is she planning to retire anytime soon?
No.
Okay. And are you all taking Social Security yet?
No, I'm only 57 right now, and she's 55.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, I like the idea of you all paying off this mortgage at some point. If you were to take that thrift savings account money out, it would do a couple of things. Number one is before 59 and a half, you would have a penalty on that, and it would all be taxable, which I don't like. So I think the question is, what could you do between now and, let's say, you know, full retirement where you're both retired to get this paid off? And, you know, I'd love for you to be able to hang on to this thrift savings account, especially if it's down with the market, and I suspect that it is, to give it time to recover. Sounds like you have plenty of income to keep servicing this mortgage, and assuming it has a low rate, and apart from a real conviction from the Lord just to be completely debt-free, including your home, I like the idea of you continuing to let that thrift savings either there in the TSP or rolled out to an IRA. I like the idea of you letting that continue to grow, to recover with the market, getting beyond age 59 and a half, and then maybe look at perhaps supplementing, you know, you paying down this mortgage out of current cash flow over a number of years. So you're not, you know, taking a huge lump sum in any single year that's going to push your taxable income up into a higher tax bracket, or at least a portion of it. So if you've got a good bit of margin left over with your wife working and your disability and the other retirement sources you have, you know, you could prepay this mortgage out of current cash flow and let that thrift savings continue to grow. That'd probably be my first choice, unless the two of you came together and said, you know what, we just really love to be debt-free as soon as possible. And if you were going to do that, then I'd probably do it over several years, maybe 2 or 3 years, 3 tranches.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Would it make a difference if I waited till I'm 60?
It would, because then you'd miss that 10% penalty. But again, if you're pulling, you know, nearly $200,000, or by then maybe 150 or so out, that's all going to be taxable in a single year. So you're going to have to add $150,000 to your taxable income for the year, which is going to make, you know, that up into a higher bracket likely. And so you're going to be paying a good bit of tax on that. You know, not to mention you're going to give up the additional years of compounding that if you could keep that money working for you. So, you know, as much as I love to have the mortgage paid off, I think if you could look at when your wife is planning to retire, let's say that's, you know, 5 or 8 or 10 years from now. And what if you made a plan to get the mortgage paid off by then, so that as her income comes out of the equation, now all of a sudden we own our home and that biggest expense is out of the picture, but not try to do it, you know, a lot sooner than that because of the tax implications and just the loss of the potential earnings on that retirement account.
Okay. All right.
But ultimately, you guys need to make this call, Carlos. So I love being debt-free, and so I think, you know, that's a great thing. I don't want to discourage you from that. I just want you to do it in a way that it makes sense. And I think ultimately it comes down to, on paper, it probably makes sense for you to wait because of the taxes and because of the losses you've probably got unrealized in your investments. And that would give you some time to let that recover and let that asset continue to grow, so you'll have it down the road if you need it for long-term care or a major medical expense, something like that. And then focus on getting that mortgage paid off through surplus that you have right now. So don't just send the monthly payment, send extra as much as you can to prepay it. And let's really make a dent in it with a plan to have it paid off by the time your wife retires. I think that would be my first choice. But if you guys would rather approach it a different way, I'd certainly understand. We appreciate your call today. To Chicago, Cheryl, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi. So my mom passed away in December of 2021, and I have an inherited beneficiary Roth IRA and IRA. And I was told that I need to start withdrawing from these accounts so that within 10 years, I guess they would be exhausted. And I'm not sure why I need to do that. And if we do, are we taxed on that? My accountant didn't seem to have an answer for me.
Hmm. Yeah. So the funds do need to come out within 10 years. So what is the status of this right now? What's happened? Has it been transferred into an inherited IRA?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, both accounts are an inherited Roth IRA and IRA.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so the withdrawal should be tax-free. and you do have to withdraw all the money from the account. So that needs to happen over a 10-year period, based on a parent or a non-spouse who died in 2020 or later. So I would talk to your CPA about that, just to make sure you're doing that effectively. And depending on your beneficiary category, there are some nuances to that. So I think you just need to check and make sure, based on your situation, you understand exactly what's required of you. But the distributions should not be taxed. And as long as the money had been in there for that 5-year holding period that is required, but you do have to get it out of there. You can't just let it grow tax-free indefinitely.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate your help. Thanks so
much. You're very welcome, Cheryl. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate you. To Fort Lauderdale, Denise, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a monies that had been in a 401k where I used to work with a company, and I did a self-directed thing, which then I invested those monies into real estate. I sold the real estate within the last year, and I have the monies actually just sitting in a bank earning nothing. I've been speaking with Fisher Investment, which is a fiduciary investment company.
Yeah.
And my concern is the following. The way that they take the monies, you don't own a portion of a stock or a portion. I'm not too familiar with this. I'm new to the financial situation. So if, let's say, just to take an example, a medical company like Merck, then you would own Merck. So my concern is that I wouldn't be diversified, and or would you suggest I speak with someone else that's in a fiduciary plan? It's about $400,000.
Yeah. Well, essentially, what you're probably talking about is, a fiduciary is just a term that means that they have a responsibility to act in your best interest, to putting your client's interests ahead of their own, and they have a duty to do that as a fiduciary. And so as a registered investment advisor, they would be a fiduciary to be able to make these buying and selling decisions for you. And then the question is, what investments are they selecting on your behalf, given your goals and objectives? And they could use individual equities, buying individual stocks. They could use mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, even other types of investments or marketable securities. But essentially, you're delegating that responsibility to somebody who is a professional, who's got training and a track record and so forth, but who's going to act on your behalf and put your best interest first, which is what the fiduciary means. And you'll pay them for that service, generally a percentage of the assets under management. Does that sound like what was described to you, or is it something different?
Yes. No, it is something like that. And I'm not sure. How do I know if I'm being overcharged, or if this, am I going to be paying out a lot more versus, if I use someone else?
Yeah. Well, I would always get a couple of opinions. Generally, if you're paying a fee for the assets under management on $400,000, you'd probably pay somewhere between 1% and 1.5% a year. So that's somewhere between $4,000 and $6,000 a year on a $400,000 portfolio. And the idea is that although that's going to, be taken out of your account, that their expertise in managing this should overcome that and, give you peace of mind to know that this is a lot of money. You've spent a lot of time building it up, and somebody's now taking responsibility for it to manage it. But I would always get a couple of other opinions. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've been not only met character and experience and ethics requirements, but they've been specially trained to bring biblically wise financial advice as investment professionals. And so they really understand your values as a believer. So I'd get at least a couple of CKAs to weigh in on this as well and ask about their experience. And, they should take a lot of time to get to know you, not sell you on something, but also compare the fee schedules to the group you've been talking to, plus these others. You can find a CKA or two there in Fort Lauderdale on our website at moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA. Denise, we appreciate your call. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today. Mr. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Pat Montague handling our phones today. Robert Sutherland providing great research for me today. So appreciate you being along with us. Hope you'll come back and join us again tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll be here to do it all over again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.